There's a number of questions here, and you can make up the questions as long as the questions have the same intent. So let's talk about that for a moment. If you make up a question that's not exactly the same as the questions that are here, you want to make sure that it requires them to access something that's rather in the way back in their memory, as opposed to something that's rather recent. If you get something that's way, way back in their memory, it's going to be a lot tougher for them to remember it, so they're going to have to probably move their eyes in a certain direction. If you say to a person, what color is your room right now, and they don't have to move their eyes up into visual recall, because it's so easy for them to remember, then you're not going to get a real good idea whether they're normally organized or reverse organized. But if they have to remember something that's way, way back there in the past, then it's probably more likely that as they remember that, they're going to have to move their eyes in that direction. So that's why these questions are set up this way. These are some pretty good questions. So they're not by no means the only questions, but let's see what they are. So, and you can just go right down the list. In fact, I would think that this week you might want to grab this chart and maybe your eye pattern questions as you go out and ask people, you know, these questions. Notice they move their eyes in certain directions. So visual remembered is actually seeing images from memory or recalling things that you've seen before. And the question is, what was the color of the room you grew up in? Now, I have to admit, I did a business training in the United Kingdom, and there were some folks in the UK who objected to this question. So here's another question that will work, I think, equally as well, which is, what was the color of the first car you ever owned? And typically, if the person's normally organized, they should move their eyes up and to the right as you look at them. Okay, visual constructed. And these are images of things that people have never seen before. They're making it up in their head, for example. And if that's the case, they're using visual construct. So the question is, what would your room, or if you used car, what would your car look like if it were blue? Now, if the car was blue, obviously you'd pick a different color, right? So, and I oftentimes like to use a bright pink or some off-the-wall color so that they really do have to construct it. Okay, next is auditory remember, and that's where you remember sounds or voices that you've heard before or things that you've said to yourself before. One of the things I like to say is, growing up, did you have a favorite pet? What was the sound of your pet's voice? Or, what was the last thing I said? Or, can you remember the sound of your mother's voice? The problem with the last thing I said, although it's useful, they may simply defocus their eyes again. If they're normally organized, they should move their eyes horizontally and to the right. Auditory construct, that's making up sounds you've not heard before. What would I sound like if I had Donald Duck's voice? And that's auditory construct. If they're normally organized, they should move their eyes horizontally to the left. Then auditory digital, this is where your eyes go when you're talking to yourself. That's internal dialogue. Can you recite the Pledge of Allegiance to yourself? This is useful in the United States. It isn't useful outside the U.S. because we're the only people that have, the only country that has a Pledge of Allegiance, as far as I know. So then you could say, if you had somebody who didn't grow up here in the U.S., you could say, is there a poem from grade school that you can remember? Or can you say the times table for times 7 to yourself? Those are also useful in producing auditory digital. That's where the eyes, and they'll move downward and to the right as you look at the person. Then kinesthetic, and that's feelings or a sense of touch. And generally you look in this direction when you're accessing your feelings. You could say, do you have a favorite beach or place in the outdoors to walk? What does it feel like to walk there without shoes? Or what does it feel like to touch a wet rug? So those are all questions that are going to get in your client a certain response. And hopefully the client will move them. Well, hopefully the client will move their eyes in a certain direction. The client will move their eyes in a certain direction as you do that. And I think probably one of the best things to do is in the next few days is to take both of these pages, 23 and 24, out and ask your friends some questions. Ask your friends some of these questions and notice what direction they move their eyes. Now, here's something that's really important. Some people move their eyes very, very, very quickly. So if you ask them a question like, you know, whatever the question is, blah, 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 you know, like, what was the color of the room you grew up in? And you're looking down at the paper when you read that question. They could have moved their eyes so quickly, bang, they could have moved their eyes so quickly that by the time you look up, they haven't moved their eyes again. They moved them back and they're already back to looking at you again. So these questions should be asked while you have your eyes on the client. So if you're going to go out and practice this week, hold the paper in your hand, look at the question, like read the question yourself, like what was the color of the first car you ever owned? Then look up at the person and say, what was the color of the first car you ever owned? That way they will go back and have to remember it, but you'll be looking at them and you'll actually be able to see the shift in their eye patterns as you do this. Sometimes people can access them so quickly that you won't notice, so you got to keep your eyes on them. And some people do it with micro muscle movements so that their eyes don't move that much. So you may be able to to notice the micro muscle movements at this point. I think certainly you probably have enough sensory acuity by now that you could. If you've been doing the other sensory acuity exercises, you'll be able to pick up those micro muscle movements very easily. Oh, yeah. One more thing. I once worked with a client in Hawaii who had a don't look to talk rule. And her don't look to talk rule was actually very interesting to me because she was a Hawaii-born Filipino. And the Filipinos in Hawaii have a don't look to talk rule. So she would look away from me when I was talking to her. And I walked into the office and she was working at an engineering firm. We were consulting there in Hawaii. And I walked into the office and sat down in the chair. And I said to her, what was the color of the room you grew up in? And she moved her eyes upward and to the left as I looked at her. And so I thought, oh, okay, she's reverse organized. That's possible. So then I said, what was the color of, what would your room look like if we painted it a bright orange? And she looked upward and to the left again. And I went, whoa. Now she's accessing both visual recall and visual construct as I look at her at the upper left-hand side. And she accessed all auditory on the left-hand side and all kinesthetic and all auditory digital on the left-hand side, to make a long story short. I went back to the office and I was so excited. You know, I said, all right, we got one. This one's different from everybody else. I found somebody that's an exception to the eye pattern chart. Whoa. And we got this whole, we were going to write an article, you know, and publish it in the whatever, you know, we're going to publish it somewhere because we had somebody that accessed everything on the left-hand side. And then I got smart. And I went back the next week. Yeah. What happened there, Dad? How'd you get smart? I went back the next week and I sat on the other side of her. And lo and behold, she accessed, I said, what's the color of the room you grew up in? And she accessed everything on the right hand. She moved her eyes up and to the right. And I said, what would it look like if we painted it bright orange? And she moved up her eyes up and to the right. And then she accessed everything, visual recall, visual construct on the right, auditory construct, auditory recall on the right, kinesthetic and auditory digital on the right. So what she had was a don't look at me to access your memories. And each time she looked away. And she was good enough where she could actually look away from you and pick up everything that she needed to pick up simply by looking in the other direction, which I thought was quite interesting. So when you access eye patterns, I think you probably ought to sit directly across from the person. Now, there are some exceptions to sitting directly across from the person that we use in NLP, but my preference would be that when you're doing this exercise, my preference would be that you're sitting directly across from the person and asking them the questions. Now, you may notice that your partner defocuses his or her eyes to access something. And rather than going to one of the quadrants, they just defocus their eyes. What that's about is that they have a preferred representational system and they're accessing that preferred representational system right on the surface so that they defocus their eyes and pick up the information which is readily available, and they don't have to go searching for it too much. They don't have to go really deeply into it too much. And so I think if you pay attention to that, you'll be in good shape. There's one other thing I want to talk about before you actually go and do this exercise. I think that's important too.